Good morning.
Morning.
I think we're on the air.
Yes.
Is this going? Yeah, it is. You aren't supposed to do that.
No, you're not.
But it's a good way to find out if it's on or not. So do we have any new park concerns this morning? Check the bulletin for the ones that are going on. Things that are coming up and announcements.
Patty Jones starts dialysis next week, or next month, I'm sorry.
She does?
Dialysis.
Yeah, but when? If she starts next month? Okay. Is she like waiting for a kidney, or is she on a trans?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Boy, it seems like there was something I just, news that they've come up with something new about dialysis and some way. Oh, I know what it was. What? Yeah, pig kidney. They're trying out, they've implanted somebody, and they're hoping this will kind of maybe can replace having to wait so long for people if it works.
It has a side effect that makes people snore.
Oh, it does? Did you say snore or snort?
Snort.
Okay. Shall I pray? Father, we're so thankful to be able to be here this morning together to look at your word, Father, and let it guide us, Father, in the prayers that we are to offer you, Father, and help us to learn more of that, Father, and to be more consistent. Let it be in our lives more, Father, and to grow, Father, and to realize what it can do for us. And help us with this study, Father, and help us with our daily lives to do your will and to look to you for that guidance and help that you can give us. And we thank you, Father, for the blessings you've given us. And we pray you be with Patty and her upcoming dialysis, that will work and help her, Father, and things can be done for her to alleviate that problem, Father. Father, be with us always and watch over us, for we ask in Jesus' name. Let us all say amen. Okay, we're on the fifth subject here of prayer. And there we go. We're talking about the persistence of prayer. And this is the fifth one. And all, if you're interested and haven't got one, all the copies, previous ones are back there in the back, the previous four. There's just a stack there. You'd have to go through them and find the difference. And this one is on persistence of prayer. So in our study on principles of prayer, which that's the overall subject title, we surveyed several essential principles. And it says, we must pray in faith, with humility, harmony with God's will. And that's an important one, that we saw that Jesus, especially there in the garden, when he was praying that, do you let this cup pass from me? He ended it by saying, not my will, but yours be done. And if you remember in the model prayer that Jesus gives us, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is done in heaven. And the prayer is saying, here on earth also like it's done in heaven. So the will of God. And we, I think, sometimes my remembering what I'm thinking about was last week. Sometimes it might be this week's, but that it'd be in harmony with the will of God, that we are to do that also. So, and that's how we get our prayers answered. We saw that when we pray, that if we want a yes answer to a prayer, it has to be according to God's will and harmony with Him. If it's not God's will and it's a personal thing, you might not get a yes answer. And I think we saw that in Paul's prayer about the thorn in his side, asking about that being removed. But that wasn't God's will. And even Jesus praying for that, but it's not his will. So, and then we must pray with thanksgiving. Everything, we should be thankful for everything. And then in the name of Jesus. So we saw that in the previous one. There's another principle of prayer worthy of careful consideration, and that's we must pray with persistence. Persistence is what? Always, continue. And we're going to look at that today, that we need to continually keep praying for things. Even if, because God's answer can be a yes, you get it right now. It can be a yes, but not now. A little later, you'll get a yes. It could be no. But He says to keep on persistently praying, to do it continually. And it's a principle of prayer that was very important to Jesus, this persistence. The importance of the persistence of prayer can be gleaned from the attention given to it in the scriptures. And note, first of all, teachings of persistence in prayer. So we have the parable of persistent friend. We probably always know these. And it's told in connection with a request for teaching on prayer. In Luke chapter 1, or chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Of course, this is going to be the model prayer that he then shows them. And we'll see how the consistency with that. So, following instructions, providing a model for prayer. So in verses 2, this would be chapter 11, almost all. See all of this. Then verses 2 through 4, he says, "So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" So these are the instructions of how to pray for, what to pray for. Help us, for we forgive others who are indebted to us. Forgive us our sins. If we don't forgive others of our sins, God, I think we're told that He won't forgive us. And then the parable itself is easy enough to understand in verses 5 through 8. "And He said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend. Yet because of his persistence, that's the key. He says, just because he's a friend, he's not going to do it, but yet because of his persistence, the friend's persistence, that he keeps asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. He will rise and give him the bread that he's asking for. And then this followed with an emphasis on being persistent in asking, seeking, and knocking. This right here is followed with that, verses 9 and 10, when he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. So there was him, a friend being persistent in this, and how it got his asking what he was asking for granted. Note that persistence is connected to learning how to pray. It's connected to how to pray. That's what he's just told him, how to pray. This is how you're to pray. And then we have the parable of the persistent widow, which we know about her. Told that men always ought to pray and not lose heart in Luke 18 and 1. And this comes from chapter 18 of Luke. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So there's your persistence. You always ought to pray. And don't lose heart. Don't lose heart because I would say it's not, you don't get your yes answer right then. So don't lose heart. And then the parable itself, illustrating the value of persistent request. We have persistent request in chapter 18 and verses 2 through 5, where he says, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Unless she's going to wear me out, she keeps coming to her. There's a thought just came to me. There's a example in the Old Testament of a persistent person praying and what they got. It's in the first chapter of, I want to say, 1 Samuel. Who is that? Thank you. Hannah. Hannah, remember what she did? She came, was it yearly or daily? Does anybody remember? What? Yeah, she came. And but she, what was she praying for? A son. And it didn't come. He didn't come the first time. She was coming quite often. And she made a statement too. If you will give me a son, I'll dedicate, basically, I'm kind of paraphrasing, I'll dedicate him to you, to the Lord. And who was that son? Samuel and the prophet that he became and the person that he was. So there's another example of persistent prayer. And then adding that God will certainly heed his chosen who cry out day and night. Isn't that what she did? He will heed his chosen. She cried out day and night to him, to God. And in verses 6 through 8a, I think think I finished. Yeah. And 6 through 8a, the first part of verse 8 says, "Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." So he said, hear what the unjust judge, that unjust judge, "and shall God will avenge his own elect who cry out day and night." He's realizing that this woman is one of God's elect, and that there's basically not that much he's going to be able to do, even though he doesn't fear God. So they cry out to him day and night, to him, though he bears long with them, though he'll put up a long time with them. "I tell you that he," that's God, "will avenge them speedily." Eventually, God's going to avenge them. And then it's followed by concern for whether such faith will be found when he returns. This is concerning us, this statement. There we go. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" That's a statement to us. When Jesus comes again, is he going to find faith here on earth? I would say, it's just my thinking, that no, he won't find it. That's why he's coming, because mankind has lost faith, as we've departed from him. That's my thought of when he's going to come again. So as long as we can keep faith here on earth, someplace growing or whatever, it probably puts off when Jesus is going to come again. Take it for what you think. So, note how persistence is related to having faith in the Lord. If we don't persistently ask God, and we think, "Oh, I've asked him once, that's enough," what it's saying is that's probably what our faith is like, that it's not very strong. That we got to realize that God, we need to ask and keep asking. Any comments there on that? Okay, so the teaching of Paul, continually steadfast in prayer, Romans 12:12, where he says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer." Paul's telling them that we need to continue steadfastly in prayer. And I wasn't here when this happened, but I think I mentioned it last week too about the wanting of a bus to transport people here to help pick up elderly ones that couldn't get here otherwise. And he used to pick up 3 or 4 people, as I remember, and bring them. And but the prayers of, I assume there were prayers going on all the time. I see a head shaking, yes, going on all the time to find something, because I doubt they could afford to buy a new one. And so somebody in, I think it was Portland, Oregon, had one, said, "You can have it. All you got to do is come and get it." Alex went down and drove it home. Well, before he even drove out, I guess, out of town or whatever, it broke down. The guy takes it back, pays to fix it, and then Alex drives it on home. And it was used for several years around. So it's like we have this need. That's one that I would say is in God's, I can't think of the right word, God, according to God's will, would fall under that type category, that these people needed to get here to have them in church and to be able to draw from them. So that prayer was answered. But I don't think it was answered after the first prayer was made. And I'm assuming, you know, it went on. Alex isn't here. He could fill us in a little more. I know Debbie knows some about it, but I just think of that as something that's a persistent prayer that was answered as a yes. So, pray, and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Again, Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So they were praying always and with perseverance. And then continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, is Colossians 2:4-2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we're supposed to be thankful too for what we have and what we receive. And then the fourth thing, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. None of that. Don't stop praying. And for everything. Yeah. Yes.
In Isaiah 57:15, it says, come to the Lord in prayer with a humble, repentant attitude of worship. I think we can have the book knowledge, we can study the Bible, but if our heart and our attitude isn't right with God, that is hindered. He's not going to hear very well.
Yeah. I think that kind of goes along with one of the previous ones, that if we're not don't have our lives right, he's not going to hear those prayers. The prayers he's going to hear are the ones are his children that are seeking his will, and the ones that are non-Christians that are seeking God's will, seeking God's will. And of course, that's Cornelius, the example of him and his situation that you go through. So he doesn't, that's the prayers he hears of a sinner. It's those prayers that are seeking God, send somebody to help me with this. Who's the guy? The Ethiopian eunuch. He was asking. He didn't ask, he was just studying it. And Philip comes up to him and says, you understand what you read? He said, no, not unless somebody tells me. Basically, he was wanting to know what this all meant. And Philip was able to talk to him. So.
That's one of the greatest examples of that story to me of baptism. Because it's interesting that he started from where he was in the book of Isaiah. You know, the New Testament wasn't written yet. Started in Isaiah.
Yeah.
Wherever he taught him, he needed to be baptized, he was saved.
Uh-huh. And it's another interesting thing is, I don't think you would find in Isaiah anything about water and baptism. So he's wherever he started from, he was able to see that this one that was just crucified, and I think the eunuch knew about that. He knew about that. He was able to bring him to that point, and then what was said after that to bring him to baptism.
Best example to me of the saving power of
Yep. So note how often persistence is mentioned in exhortation to pray. Persistence in our continue to pray on, pray. Persistence in prayer must be very important to be stressed so often. Yet we find more than simply teaching on persistence. We also find examples of persistence in prayer. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't talk about this one very often, I don't think, and in regard to persistence. When he was deeply distressed over his impending suffering, in Matthew 26, 36 to 39, actually we're going to go through 47 eventually, but just through 39 right now, he says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples," now, there's only 11 of them there at this time, because Judas is off doing his thing. So there's 11, well, there could be more than that, because it doesn't say apostles, but at least, there's at least 11 there. And he says, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he takes with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Is that James and John? Okay, so those two go with him. And he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, that's those three, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face. So he's left them, he's gone by himself, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible," and he's asking, you know, if it's possible to do this, "let this cup pass from me." What's he talking about when he's saying this cup pass from me?
Crucifixion.
What?
Crucifixion.
The crucifixion, his death, yeah. "Nevertheless, not as I will," okay, "not as I will, but you, but as you will." So he's asked that once. And while his closest disciples slept, he prayed three times. And then verses 40 to 44, he says, "Then he came to the disciples," those three, "and found them sleeping and said to Peter," "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" It sounds like maybe he was gone for 1 hour praying and had fallen asleep. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time. So now he goes back a second time. He went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." So he's asking, if this crucifixion, if my death that's coming, can't pass away, if I have to go through it, your will still be done. He's saying, okay. And he's asking a second time, basically, to let this cup pass from him. And then he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. This is the third time he's come back to them and found them sleeping. So he left them, went away again, and prayed. Well, he found him sleeping the second time, and then he goes again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So three times he asked God for this. That's being persistent, and he's done it in a matter of a couple hours over time there. So he's being very persistent in this asking to let it come from him, in which he received the necessary help to face what lay ahead. He received the help of what lay ahead, 45 through 47. He then says, "Then he came to his disciples and said to them," this is after the third time, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. So he knew what was coming. He saw him coming. He didn't run. He didn't try to hide. Which, remember, there were times when there'd be a crowd around him, and all of a sudden, he would just kind of disappear through the crowd, and they didn't know where he did or how he did this, but not this time. This time he stays there. He had the ability to leave and not be basically captured. But he didn't. And then because he was strengthened by angels in Luke 22:41-44, it says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, this is Luke's account of what we just read about. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So he prayed so hard that his sweat turned to blood. And they say this is possible, even for us today, for this to happen. He was heard by God, though his actual request was not answered in his, what he wanted was it to pass, but God's will. In Hebrews 5:7, he says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers, now he's talking, this is later on, the writer of Hebrews is saying, who, Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he was alive, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. He was heard by God. If the Son of God needed persistence in prayer, do not we? If he pray persistently, don't we need to pray persistently too? But again, it has to be in accordance with God's will. Then we have Paul and his thorn in the flesh. Paul endured the infirmity of persecution. Several verses, 2 Corinthians 11:30-33, where he says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the government under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. They wanted to arrest him, and they couldn't. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hand. That's how Paul got out. So he escaped that persecution. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And then 12:10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And then in Judges chapter 2 and verse 3 says, Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out. This is God speaking. I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. This is God talking to the Israelite people because they didn't do something. They didn't do what he told them. And I didn't go back and read that, but I'm pretty sure that's about where he told them to kill everybody. Don't spare anybody. And they didn't do it. And they're going to be thorns in your side. And do we see this today? Yeah. What's going on right now? It's the same thing. Those people are a thorn in the side of the Jewish people still today. And it was because of their gods that they had, and the things that they did, they married in, and they did all this stuff. I'm thinking I'm going to start sneezing here in a minute. And when I'll warn you if I do. I sneeze. I don't know. I go about 10 times, so maybe I won't. So this thorn in the flesh, Paul prayed 3 times that it might be removed in 2 Corinthians 12:8. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. That's interesting. 3 times. How many times did, I don't know if this has anything to do with things. How many times did Jesus pray in the garden? 3 times. I don't know if that's a key or not, but because I think what I think of consistent, persistent, those words, it's more. You just keep on praying for it. But maybe by the 3rd time, you know, okay, this probably isn't going to happen. And that's what I think Paul figures out. Do we?
I think maybe God gave him the answer.
They have what?
God gave him the
answer. That's possible too. It's just not recorded for us. Or he's given him the answer and that it's still there.
Well, yeah. But that God's strength is stronger than whatever it was.
Yeah. Okay. It was not, but the Lord provided what he needed. He got sufficient grace, the strength of Christ, to endure. 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me, rest upon me. We're going to see this again, though. Next one. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities. He's glad he has those things, those whatever that thorn in the side of his flesh was, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For I am weak, then I'm strong. He knows that he's strong in Christ. That's where he is. And then it's enabling him to even take pleasure in his infirmities. We just read that. I take pleasure in infirmities and in these other things. If the apostle, as the apostle of Christ, needed persistence in prayer, don't we? Do not we? We need it too. The prayers of the early Christians, another example of persistent prayers. The church in Jerusalem continues steadfastly in prayers. Acts 2:42, right after Peter's sermon there, and says, and all these converts that were baptized and were following him, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in prayers. They were praying all the time. And then when Peter was in prison, there were constant prayer was offered for him. Acts 12:5 and 12, where he says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. So the church was praying constantly for him. It's similar to, Peggy and I have this, well, and Fred Melly, we have this friend, some of you have heard, he's in the prayer list, is in South Africa in the hospital. He had a major stroke, stroke. And he's been in a coma for a couple, when did that happen?
6 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 6 weeks ago. And he's been in a coma almost the time. He has started to kind of maybe wake up once in a while. But prayers for him are ongoing in from his local congregation there in California. There's a church in South Africa that he traveled all over the world and has churches every place that he knows the people. And especially this one in South Africa, they were contacted and they are visiting him all the time and praying for him. And there's other prayers where his sister lives here in the United States. It's in the Midwest, I know, but those are the type of things that are persistent prayers that are coming that in by the church. Everybody is praying for him. Debbie? Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't like you said, it wasn't a one-time thing. But I can remember the years that we prayed for both of these. And they finally came.
And then Acts 12:12, where he says, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So, I think that's Paul, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And many were gathered together praying. So here you have the church gathered together and they were praying. So this continual asking for prayers. And then Epaphras labored fervently in prayer for his brethren and called it policy. And Colossians 4:12 said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. He was with Paul and I think in prison in Rome, always laboring fervently. So here he's in Rome fervently for you, laboring for them in prayers, praying for his home congregation there, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that you will, it'll be a strength to them. And then widows, we're looking at different people, ways that the early Christians prayed and how. Widows are assumed to be devoted to prayer. In 1 Timothy 5:5, it says, now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. So we have a widow that continues, a woman continuing in prayers all the time. And Anna herself in Luke 2:36-37. And this explains who she is. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God and with fasting and prayers night and day. So she was there. I kind of take it that she was someplace from 84 to 91 years old. She was in great age. She had been a widow, the way I read it, if she was like 13, say that's when she got married, she'd be 20 when she became a widow. And then another 84 years on top of that. She could have been as much as 104 years old. But for 84 years, she did not depart from the temple after that. That's persistence. If the early church needed persistence in prayer, do not we? So, in conclusion, with such examples and teaching on persistence in prayer, the importance of persistence cannot be overemphasized. Persistence in general, let's keep praying, persistence in particular, don't ask just once. No, persistence does not ensure God's answer we may desire. We may not get the desired answer we want. Jesus still had to drink the cup of suffering by going to the cross. Paul still had to bear his thorn in the flesh by enduring persecution for Christ. Yet persistence in prayer is key to receiving answers we need and grace and mercy to help in times of need. Strength to endure whatever it is we must face. That's what prayer does for us to keep on praying. And so through persistence in prayer, let us ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So that's why you want to be persistent. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. That's until God provides the answer to our prayers, giving whatever we graciously determine, whatever he graciously determines we really need. Any comments, questions? Yes. Quench the spirit. Forgot what that. But when we don't pray, that's when we quench the spirit. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else? So next week is the sixth in this series of eight, and I forgot what the title of it is. There's three of them that has the same. That they have the same kind of title. So, till next week, I guess. Thank you. I guess.